Other Sheep, April 7, 2012, by Ernie Noll. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. John 10, verse 16. In my dream, I am sitting on a log and looking downhill at what resembles a very large outdoor amphitheater. The night sky is illuminated by a very bright moon. There is no other light, yet I am able to see clearly in the dark. The amphitheater appears to be made of pure glass. The sides and back of the wall include many hollow pillars made of fine crystal. I now watch as many angels descend from high above and fill the amphitheater. The angels look the same in appearance, yet I know each one is different. Each wears a garment, or the garment is their skin, which has the look of flowing energy, just like their wings. Their appearance is very shiny. I begin counting angels in blocks of 10 to make 100 angels, then blocks of 100 to compose 1,000 angels. I now count the blocks of 1,000 angels and see before me legions of angels. Looking up, I notice a single angel descend and stand in front of the other angels. I am sitting about 1 mile away, yet I can clearly see that his appearance is different from the rest of the angels. He is taller, and even though I do not see his face, I know he is very noble-looking. He stands with his back toward me, holds up his hands, and points toward different groups of angels as if to conduct them. Then he turns, and I clearly see his face. It is the herald. He looks up at me and smiles, that smile I have seen so many times before with those familiar dimples. It is a smile that I welcome. With a single note, the herald begins to sing, and with him the great host of angels sings in perfect harmony. I clearly hear the highest soprano to the deepest bass. They are singing an old hymn. I know that each sings not to perform, but that each word and note are offered in dedication of their love for the one of great love, the love of the love of the love. I sit alone in this very large amphitheater and listen to legions of angels singing to Jesus. Each word is sung in perfect unison. They are singing the hymn, Fairest Lord Jesus. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, O thou of God and man the Son, thee will I cherish, thee will I honor, thou my soul's glory, joy, and crown. Fair are the meadows, fairer still the woodlands, robed in the blooming garb of spring. Jesus is fairer, Jesus is purer, who makes the woeful heart to sing. Fair is the sunshine, fairer still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer, than all the angels heaven can boast. Beautiful Savior, Lord of all nations, Son of God and Son of man, glory and honor, praise, adoration, now and forevermore be thine. As they finish the hymn, I notice high above the sky many more angels have descended from the heavens. As I look into the night sky, each of the angels becomes brighter and brighter. It is not possible for me to count them all. The sky is illuminated brighter than the brightest noonday sun. Suddenly the herald sings a note, and all those angels join in. As they continue, the legions of angels in the amphitheater join in and sing another hymn. Each continues to sing, not as if performing, but as a personal tribute of their love and dedication to Jesus. The hymn they now sing is, Take the Name of Jesus with You. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever, as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. O the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills our souls with joy, when his loving arms receive us, and his songs our tongues employ. precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, O how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. When the singing ends, I feel a hand on my right shoulder. I turn to see my other angel guide. He sits down next to me, addresses me with my heavenly name, and explains that all need to understand that Jesus is the Savior of everyone on this earth. Jesus is the only way we can be saved from sin. It is through each individual's acceptance of Jesus and asking for forgiveness of their sins that the Father will hear and answer their petitions spoken in the fairest and most precious name of Jesus. We must also understand that it is through the sacrifice of Jesus that all God's angels and faithful creations will be safe from sin when sin is no more. Jesus is and always will be the great Savior. He always will be that precious name and the fairest Lord Jesus. The herald approaches now and stands on my right side. He holds out his hand and asks if I will come with him. Since he is to show me something, I hold up my right hand, and we rise upwards, and are instantly in a very large room with five tables. The herald instructs me to closely observe what I am being shown, because it is very symbolic. He states that so many different individuals are teaching false doctrines. Some state that God does not kill. Others study the Jewish festivals and lunar Sabbaths. These errors have been shown to be false. There are also those who follow the teachings of Jeff Pippinger. It has been shown that there is nothing wrong with the study of the Seventh-day Adventist pioneers. However, this individual stresses teachings that are not important to our salvation. Others are following John Scottrum, who uses the constellation Orion as a clock and sets dates and times. They believe his statement that I do not understand my own dreams, therefore he gives his own interpretations of my dreams. Scottrum has also caused discord in marriages, and that has led to separation between husbands and wives for no good reason. Scottrum has set dates for the falling of fireballs, the Sunday law, the appearance of Jesus, etc. Jesus came to save man from sin, which includes mistaken beliefs in strange teachings. Now the herald states that an individual will come into the room, and that I am to pay close attention to what he does. A man walks in wearing white shoes, white pants, a white shirt, a white belt, and a white chef's hat. As he walks around, he hums the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. Faith of our fathers, living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy, whene'er we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark, were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they like them could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee, and through the truth that comes from God, we all shall then be truly free. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Faith of our fathers, we will love both friend and foe in all our strife, and preach thee too, as love knows how, by kindly words and virtuous life. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. There are five tables in the room. The first table is very large. The next table is much smaller. The last table is very small, and on top of it is a small flour sifter. The same man has brought in a very large bag of flour. He opens the bag and pours the flour onto the very large table. With exact measurement, he separates the flour into 21 different but equal mounds. Then he takes one of those mounds, leaving 20. He takes that mound and moves it to the next smaller table. Then he divides this mound into 12 equal mounds. When he finishes, he takes one of those mounds, leaving 11. He takes that mound and moves it to the next smaller table. Next, he divides this mound into 7 equal mounds. When finished, he takes one of those mounds, leaving 6. He takes that mound, moves it to the next smaller table, and divides the mound into 3 equal mounds. When that is done, he takes one of those mounds, leaving 2. He takes that mound and moves it to the last small table that has the small flour sifter. Taking that single mound, he places it into the flour sifter. Then he proceeds to sift the flour until there is only a few small grains of flour left in the sifter. This reminds me of the dream in the heart of Jesus, where the Holy Spirit sifted dirt and stones through a construction screen. From the pile of dirt, stones, and garbage, he selected stones that would endure the refining process. Now the process is refined further. Instead of stones, flour is put through a small flour sifter. The grains that would not fall through the sifter are what he wants. He has been looking for and is pleased to find the few that he needs. It is through the work of the Holy Spirit that the remnant of the remnant will do what is needed of them. The herald explains that we are seeing the final great sifting time. He says to remember the last grain of sand falling through the hourglass. We have been told to prepare our vessel so that the Holy Spirit can dwell in us. The herald explains that the Holy Spirit instructed me to post a message on the For My People Ministry website about the importance of preparing our hearts to notice the events of the week, and that through prayer, God would hold back the winds of destruction. One can clearly see the answer to those prayers, as the hand of destruction has been stayed in what has occurred and continues to occur, so that more have the chance to be saved. God has heard the prayers of many, and he will continue to listen. However, we are to know that these things will continue and become more destructive. He will decide when it is time to loosen the winds. It will not happen when man decides. If someone predicts a date, listen to him with closed ears. God has stated there will be no more time setting. Those who set dates do not speak for the Father in heaven, but rather are controlled by the one who is chained to this world. These individuals are spokesmen for Satan. The herald explains that as the last grain of sand falls through the hourglass, and as the unfaithful are sifted out in the final time of sifting, we are to know that the sealing of Seventh-day Adventists is about finished. All will have had a chance to repent. Many will jest and scoff, just as those who stood outside the closed door of Noah's Ark. However, 7 days after the door was closed, God caused destruction. He killed all but those behind the closed door. The herald states that as the time for reaching Seventh-day Adventists comes to an end, to notice how these messages will begin to reach more individuals of other faiths. The herald emphasizes that there are to be no more future events that have a date and time of the event. He explains that the Father is aware that some state that I am a false prophet, and they want proof that I am a spokesman for God. The herald says he is to show me the reason I am not shown events with a date. With those words, I find myself standing as an observer in a room inside a large building where several men in black suits sit at a long table. I observe myself walk into the room from the left. I understand that I am once again to come before this panel to try to prove the validity of what I have been shown in my dreams. The herald reminds me of many things I have been shown that would happen, such as weather disasters and how these things have come to pass. He states how the whole world witnessed these events and that these will continue to happen. Yet the majority still doubts what I have been shown. Next, the herald explains that I am going to be given an illustration of what would happen if I were to give specific information regarding an event. Watching as an observer, I see myself go before this panel of men in black suits. The one who sits in the center, whose chair is larger than the rest, speaks as one having great authority. I listen as he speaks with a demanding voice. He explains that they have decided that I must prove I am a prophet by providing detailed information of an event. I see an angel suddenly descend and stand next to me. I have been told to call him the guide. He gives me specific instructions. Then I tell the panel that I am allowed to share details ahead of time of an event that will occur. I give the magnitude of a powerful earthquake, tell them where it will occur, its depth, its duration, and how many lives will be lost. I give a detailed account of the destruction, as well as the exact date and time of the earthquake. The black-suited individual in the center tells me that he will return after the event. He looks at the other individuals in black suits, laughs, and says, "If this event even does happen, and I really doubt that it will." The scene changes. I know that time has passed and the event has occurred. I see myself again approach the panel of men. I tell the one in the center that I gave them the details of the earthquake and that it occurred exactly the way I had stated, as well as the exact date and time that I had given. After a moment, I ask, "What do you have to say about what I was shown and the evidence provided?" The one in the center clears his throat and speaks again as one having great authority. He says that they all acknowledge that the event occurred, but that this was not valid proof that I am a prophet of God. He stresses that earthquakes happen all the time, that this type of event is much too common, and that what I told them was just a coincidence. He says that anyone could predict an earthquake as I did, and that it has not proven that I am a spokesman for God. He then shares that what they want to know is something that is not an everyday occurrence, such as when the fireballs will happen. He states that if I am a true prophet of God, that I should be able to give the date. He also wants to know when the Sunday law will come. He reveals that if I tell them these things, then they might consider me a prophet, but it would first be taken to a committee for a vote. Next, I watch myself leave the room and walk outside. The herald and I stand from a distance watching me drive away. Moments later, the herald draws my attention to several angels who descend and hover above the large building. These angels are holding large vials and begin pouring a thick, gold-colored liquid onto the building. Everyone inside is consumed by a fire that lasts only seconds. There was not even enough time to make a call to report the fire. The heat is so intense that it consumes everything, even the foundation and the dirt beneath it. All that is left is a large, incinerated hole in the ground with smoke rising from it. The surrounding buildings are not harmed. There is not even smoke damage. The herald breaks the silence and instructs that we should show appreciation by thanking the Heavenly Father who has decided to stay his hand of destruction. After the For My People ministry displayed a message on the website about praying that God will stay his hand, the prayers of many are self-evident. He deserves prayers of gratitude for his patience with those who are undeserving. He waits for more to be saved. However, it must be understood that God will not stay his hand forever. He will soon raise his mighty hand as a parent would raise his hand to a disobedient child. Punishment is assured. Let all ask for forgiveness before God's punishment is handed out. Destruction will occur. Earthquakes will happen, with more frequency and in many different areas. The fireballs are still held in check, but the Father will soon command them to be released. The Sunday law will soon take place, and all will be asked to abide by it. I am now taken by the herald to see something else. He shares that the messages I have been given are reaching more people than I know or could understand. He says that here is an example of the power of the Holy Spirit. I am sitting as an observer in a booth overlooking a television audience. It is a talk show, and I know that individuals have been invited to speak with the host of this show. I am in anticipation, since I do not know what is about to happen. I watch preparations for the live broadcast television program on a network station. Because of what was outlined in the Truth Book, I also realized that Seventh-day Adventist channels would not be interested in this particular program. The broadcast begins, and the host walks out and sits down behind a desk. He begins to talk about two individuals who have been invited to the program that day. The host has displayed photos of two individuals on large screens. One is a male and the other a female. Their skin is a pale white, and their hair has been dyed black. Both individuals wear black nail polish, a lot of black eye mascara, have ear, nose, and lip piercings, and wear black clothing. They're also making a satanic hand gesture. The host talks briefly about the two individuals who have come on the program. He explains that they come from a long line of Luciferians, or Satan worshippers, and that they will share their life experiences. The host stands and tells everyone to welcome them. The applause lights flash, but I notice that the audience sits very quietly, as if in shock. I sense that they are about to stampede toward the exit doors. Suddenly, a young, blonde-haired couple walks in front from the right and greets the host. Their appearance and clothing does not look anything like the photos. Next, the host asks the man to please share his experience. The man begins by explaining that he came home one day, picked up a book that he found on the table, and started to read it. He explains that what he was reading was not something he was interested in. He continues, "Please understand that my mate and I were very involved in the Friday night party scene and never had an interest in what I was reading in the book. At the time, we were not married, since we did not know that marriage was God's plan. My mate and I had our routine. Every weekend, it was always the same. We would go to the different clubs. We would dance, drink, do drugs, and all that goes with that. We were both heavily into goth styles and were committed Satanists. We both believed that Satan is the only true ruler of this earth. To us, he was God. We had our own time of private animal sacrifice to Satan. We lived a life of service to him, doing his bidding and not caring who we hurt. We took what we needed in whatever way we could. We were living life to its fullest." The man continues, "So early one evening I happened to pick up a book. I recall it saying Messages from God on it. I picked it up and it opened to a story about Jesus. You need to understand that I had heard of this man called Jesus, but I also knew that my God, Satan, had killed him. I knew that Satan was now the God of this earth. We always had fun on Christmas. We did the normal tree and decorations thing. We had the normal parties. We celebrated Easter, but it was about the bunny, not about Jesus. Christmas and Easter were nothing more than party days. The big holiday that we loved was Halloween. This was our God's holiday. Well, I sat down on the couch and began to read this story, and I got caught up in it, just as if I was watching a really good movie. As I continued to read, I began feeling strange in a way that I can't explain. I felt chills up and down my spine, and I would get goosebumps. I recall that I kept feeling a strong urge to throw the book in the trash. I kept feeling that I was wasting my time reading it when I had other things I would rather be doing. Yet I felt a certain way that I could not explain. A calming peace came and surrounded me. As I read more, I felt a warm glow, as if a large warm arm was embracing me. Continuing on, I noticed that each word was easy to read and comprehend. At times my heart would beat faster. I would laugh and then cry. When I finished the story, I cannot describe how I felt. I knew that I wanted to close the book and open it from the beginning. My mind was racing because the words I had read painted a vivid mental picture. A war was going on in my mind between what I was reading and what I had always believed. Then my mate came home, and I asked her to come to where I was. You need to know that due to our lifestyle, we both wore mascara. When she saw my face, she could clearly see that I had been crying, since the tracks of my tears ran down my face. I showed her the book and told her that when I picked it up, it had opened to a certain story. I told her that I read it, and that I needed to read it to her as well. She told me that a co-worker had given the book to her. She said, "It looks like these are messages sent from our God Satan, because the title says, Messages from God." She said she wanted to read it, but had not had time. I then repeated to her that I wanted her to hear what I had just read. I began to read, and almost immediately she stopped and told me that she was getting the strangest feeling that we should stop reading this book and throw it away or burn it. I told her that I felt the same way, but that instead I kept reading it. As I read, my mate told me about the feelings she was having, which were almost identical to my own. We would laugh, and then we would cry. When I finished reading the story, we both looked at each other. Then my mate suggested that we start reading from the beginning. I told her that was my thought as well when I read it the first time. We turned to the front of the book and read that these were not really stories, but that these were dreams that a man had. We saw that Bible quotes were used to explain the purpose of the dreams. There were other statements from some other place. You must understand, we did not own a Bible. As followers of Satan, we had our own Bible. This was all new to us. We opened the first dream, called At the Table. We looked at each other and continued reading. We both had questions, but wanted to keep reading. We went to the next dream, the white blanket. Then we read A View of Heaven. When we finished, we stopped, turned to each other, and asked, How can this be? Jesus was defeated. He is not alive. Satan has shown us that he is the only God, and that this Jesus died. We continued to read, turning page after page. As time passed, we had read things that we did not completely understand, but in many places there were Bible verses or what is known as Spirit of Prophecy quotes to help in understanding the meaning. We continued and got to the first dream that I had read, In the Heart of Jesus. It was the third time that I had read it, and the second time that my mate had read it. This time we both understood more than we had the first time. We continued to read to the very end. Then we started over again. It was now late Friday night. We were not interested in going out, but just wanted to read the dreams. By the time we finished, it had been a long time. We had laughed, wondered about things, but most of all, we had cried many times. The next day, which was Saturday, we got up and knew we had to find one of the King James Bibles spoken of in the messages. We found a bookstore, and when we told the sales lady what we wanted, she gave us the strangest look. I can now imagine how strange we would have appeared to her. We were both very gothic in our dress and appearance. We were the last type of people who would have asked about a book such as the Holy Bible, but she took us to where the King James Bibles were, and we both picked one out. We returned home and spent the day reading the dreams. Wherever a comment was made referring to the King James Bible, we compared the dream with what it said. Next, we had to find out what the Spirit of Prophecy was and who this Ellen White was. After learning what an ABC is, we left on a Sunday and headed for an Adventist book center. We specifically asked for all the books mentioned in the dreams. We had made a list and presented it to the ABC salesperson. Again, the looks from the salesperson and customers were quite interesting. Returning home, we began to read the dreams and look up what was shown in the Spirit of Prophecy books. We learned who Ellen White was. We began to study as we had never studied before. As we studied the dreams, we began to read the books by Ellen White, called the Spirit of Prophecy. We learned about the real author of these messages and that he did not stay dead, but is very much alive. We then began to read and study the Bible in all the spare time we could find. We studied the Bible more and more and used the writings of Ellen White to help clarify certain things. As we studied, we were also changing. We continued to study about this man, Jesus, and how he died and rested on the seventh day. But at the end of that day, he came back to life. Even in death, he rested on Saturday, the Sabbath day. However, on Sunday, he got up and went to work. We learned that we had been lied to. We no longer serve Satan. We had been his servants, but we now serve a new God, not new in the sense that he is new, because he has always been, but he is new to us. We have learned about the true God. We learned the truth about the seventh-day Sabbath and about diet and health. We studied and learned, and today we serve as gospel workers, teaching the truth and how to be a true Seventh-day Adventist. The Herald now tells me to recall that those who will sit closest to God's throne are those who once served Satan. Those two individuals worshipped and served Satan, but they heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Notice that most of those who are currently in the Seventh-day Adventist Church are unable to hear the soft, gentle pleadings of the Holy Spirit. They cannot hear due to the loud proclamations they make about being Seventh-day Adventists. They do not understand that it is one thing to proclaim that you are a Seventh-day Adventist, but it is another to heed the gentle teachings about living as a Seventh-day Adventist. Yet those of other faiths are able to hear the soft voice of the Holy Spirit. I now find myself in the corridor where I have been many times before. The Herald and I sit down, and he says that he is to inform me about the traveling that Becky and I will do to share the messages. He tells me that our preparations will soon be finished, and that we are to begin our trip as soon as the final arrangements have been completed. The Herald reminds me that I was told that funds would be made available to obtain what would be needed. He smiles and tells me that for a short time a window of heaven was opened, and great blessings, symbolized by many gold coins, flowed to this ministry. I was provided with what is needed to carry out what I have been asked to do. Many gave in great faith. God has seen their sacrifice and will bless those who freely give. The herald reveals that as Becky and I travel, God will open the storehouse of heaven, and once again we will see the power of Him who sits on the throne. The Holy Spirit will speak in a powerful way to others who will hear the soft-spoken words. I am reminded that God will instruct me as to those who should be invited to assist, because I have already seen many deceptive ways that Satan has used to try to destroy our ministry. Many with talents and gifts are apostate sheep in wolves' clothing. Satan will send those types of people who will want to work for our ministry. However, God will show me who are His and who are not. I am told that as Becky and I travel, a host of angels will go with us in all we do. We are to know that the Holy Spirit will move upon the meetings and that great things will be witnessed. The power of God will be evident. The Holy Spirit will speak, and those with means will make it possible for those who wait as His ministers to go out and teach. It will be through our presentations that many ministers will come forward, just as I was shown in the dream, the senior pastor. The herald instructs that I am to prepare what I have been shown and to share his messages.